Mark. We're going to talk about the Addams Family today. Before we talk anything pinball related, though, I wanted to test some of your knowledge about the Addams Family conceptually.
Okay.
First of all, do you know who created the Addams Family?
No idea.
Funnily enough, a guy with the last name Addams with two D's. He wasn't like, his name's Charles Addams, two D's, everything like that.
That just makes a lot of sense.
I guess the Addams Family is just, I don't know what to call them, so I'm going to call them me.
Is it just autobiographical then?
We'll get into that in a second. But my next question is, so you're probably familiar with the Addams Family. It was like a show at some point, but it started actually as a cartoon, like in print media. And my question for you is, in what decade do you think the Addams Family cartoon was first published?
Wow. Yeah. See, this is all news to me. I didn't even know, but it's got to predate the TV show, which I think was 50s.
So I think that, okay, keep going.
I'm going to say that it came out in the 30s. That's kind of a rip-roaring decade.
Wow. That's a really good get. It came out, in the 30s. Depending on the source, the first Addams Family character cartoon to be drawn featured what would become Morticia Addams. And that was either published in 1933 or 1937, depending on the source. Charles Addams himself first really thinks 37 is when he first really started getting into the family.
You know, this tracks. I feel like the whole vibe of the family living in the mansion does feel kind of frozen in time about then, right? Like they've got a phone, but it's like one of those old timey,
super old phone.
Yeah. Like, you know, hello operator kind of phones. I don't think they have like a TV, you know, you don't ever hear about like, you know, airplanes or anything. I don't know. You know, it feels kind of like, no, it wouldn't be out of place to see someone, you know, cranking an automobile in the Addams Family, even if it was like in the later
to like
iterations.
Start it, right? Like that's what those things are for. Yeah. Well, it's actually sort of interesting too, because the Addams Family is sort of a send up of like old money, generationally wealthy families.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think it makes sense there too in that decade, because you're thinking about the Rockefellers and you're thinking about the Carnegies, and the Addams Family is sort of satirizing them in some ways. Not to dovetail too far into it, but it's also sort of interesting how the Addams Family is, you know, on the surface level, kind of gruesome, right? Like they're this really macabre looking group and they're like celebrating death and all these weird things, at least in like, you know, modern pop culture version of them. But underneath it all, they're actually a really, really healthy, functional family that's loving and caring and shares their emotions. And I it's just such an interesting like contrast. And I don't know if Charles Addams was going for that in the 30s, because I haven't seen many of the original cartoon drawings, but like, it's interesting how it became that way in the show in the 60s and in the movies in the 90s and later on with Jenna Ortega and so on.
Yeah. I think the cultural zeitgeist of what you could get away with in terms of like an edgy family was, you know, very different back then. So for all we know, it was like actually really controversial that, like, I don't know, Morticia wore a dress that had like a slit up to her shin or something. And it was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, and actually, you might have seen, because I think there was an animated movie that came out recently about the Addams Family, and that draws more from the actual source material. And so like Gomez is like really short and sort of pudgy looking, and like it's very, I don't know, almost sort of Nightmare Before Christmas as a visual vibe, but 2D. And that is actually really close to the original incarnation of them when Charles Addams drew them. So if we talk about the Addams Family, they were first popped up in the 30s. Good get on that. My next question for you is, which publication first ran the Addams Family?
Oh my gosh. Parade magazine.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Obviously it was Elle. No, it was The New Yorker.
Oh, wow.
So it started as like a New Yorker recurring comic.
Did it have like inscrutable captions below that did not make any sense? Or?
I mean, almost certainly.
Okay.
Right? That has to be like peak inscrutable New Yorker in the 30s, 40s, and so on. And so speaking of Gomez Addams and the way he looked sort of like a little short, sort of rotund, do you know Gomez Addams was based off of a famous New Yorker who once ran for president? In the 40s.
Once ran for president, I'm guessing didn't win, or maybe did. Is it like a Roosevelt of some kind? Like a Roosevelt that didn't become president? Or
no. He did lose. I will give you that. He lost, but he's someone you might know.
Is it Dewey?
It is Thomas E. Dewey.
Ooh.
The guy who lost, of course, to Harry Truman. Truman holding up the newspaper.
Dewey defeats Truman sign.
That's exactly right. He was also, we shouldn't just celebrate his big loss in life. He was also a governor of New York.
Yeah, I should be so lucky to have lost the presidential election, right? But I didn't even know what he looked like or that he was from New York.
If you picture Gomez Adams, you've got Thomas E. Dewey. Okay. Wow. And so lastly, I've got one last like little bit of trivia before we really talk about the Adams Family pinball machine, which is why we're here. Let's fast forward a little bit now to the classic theme song of that 60s era Adams Family show. Mm-hmm. There are 5 adjectives used to describe the Adams Family in that song.
Okay.
Can you name them?
They're creepy.
Yes.
And they're kooky.
Yes. Those are in first two in order.
They're something and spooky.
Yes.
I don't know.
The two you're missing are they're mysterious and spooky, and they're all together ooky.
Oh, I was going to say ooky. Yeah.
They're the Addams Family.
I didn't know mysterious, though.
Yeah, it's the one that like doesn't fit in any way, really, because every other one of those is an adjective ending in Y and creepy, kooky, spooky, ooky. Mysterious is, I don't know. It's not as Halloween centric. I don't
know.
Like creepy and kooky. I guess kooky it really isn't either. But anyway, so yeah, we're here to talk about the Adams Family pinball machine, which was made by Bally in 1992. Created by Pat Lawler and Larry DeMar. This is not the only Pat Lawler machine we will have seen in our recent pinball goings.
All right. So friends of the show, Pat Lawler.
Longtime fans. Mm-hmm. And I just like in our casual play outside, like you have definitely seen Pat Lawler machines out there.
Okay.
It is the best selling solid state pinball machine of all time with over 20,000 units sold. Once it crossed that line, they then started releasing a limited edition gold cabinet where the play field and like the cabinet art was gold colored to commemorate this kind of phenomenal record. I think we've kind of alluded to this maybe in the past, but like typical pinball machine runs are like 10,000. And so this sold like twice as many in the early 90s. And usually if people have played a pinball machine sort of casually in life, it often seems to have been the Adams Family.
Yeah, I think that I can't confirm this for sure, but I feel like it was probably the first pinball machine I ever played. I think they were everywhere. Like the bowling alley had one. If there was a pinball machine anywhere else that I as a kid would ever go, it was probably that one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely
the
same.
Maybe.
I remember seeing them as kids in like, you know, the bowling alley or like the, you know, my parents were part of the Moose Lodge and I think they had an Adams Family machine. I'm sure I played it and had no idea what I was doing, which has not changed much, I guess, as an adult, but at least now I appreciate that I don't know what I'm doing. And as a kid, I was probably just like, what is this?
I think one time I hit the shot to get the thing to come out and pick up the ball and I just lost my mind.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was just like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So some of the main kind of details that we should be looking out for when we go into place. And so obviously we have some baseline familiarity from our childhood, just remembering that it exists.
Yeah.
But a couple of things that I think make this machine unique. First of all, Angelica Houston and Raul Julia, who are Morticia and Gomez in that 1990s movie that this pinball machine tied in with when it was released, did callouts for this game and recorded specific new audio for it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, presumably contractually obligated, but it's not often that I think you see a tie-in machine where they're also recording new audio just for pinball.
Yeah. And that's great because that's definitely what I think of when I think of the Addams Family. You know, I was aware of the TV show. And I have some kind of like black and white images in my head of what that looked like. But for sure, it's the movie that I think of.
Yeah. So I think that's great. As far as like there's cool gimmicks that kind of they built into the machine, the two to really focus on, I think, are things that are thing related. You talked about the first one, which is there's a magnetic grabber for a ball lock called the thing grabber. And thing's hand reaches out, plucks the pinball, and then takes it back beneath the surface as part of the ball lock. So that's kind of a cool gimmick that that exists. There is a vault that should open up and serve as a ball lock at a certain point. And I believe you have to spell greed to make that happen. And then lastly, there's like a left lane near like jet bumpers, like the ball's going to come down. And there is a certain shot that triggers, like there's a mini left flipper that can automatically make a shot for a cross play field target called the thing flip. And that is meant to, I think, improve over the course of the game. If you get it multiple times, it's supposed to be more accurate as a shot. It's supposed to be like sort of an AI back in the early 90s to like automatically make some shots.
Wow. Everything really has come full circle.
I know. You know, really the Addams Family pinball machine was doing AI before, yeah, before anybody.
Pioneering research for sure.
The other kind of cool gimmick that I think exists on this table is there's something that's called the power. And that is a series of magnets that are underneath the play field, and it can be activated at certain points, and it might cause the ball to whip around sort of erratically in the center of the play field, like in the lower third, sort of just sort of above the flippers, like in that sort of main meat of open space.
That's a lot of magnetic action, I feel like, for a 90s pinball machine. Is this kind of like the start of a trend, or?
Honestly, I don't know where that fits in the sphere of 90s games. But I believe Pat Lawler also did something like Twilight Zone, which also has unique magnet functions. And so I think the designer, you know, had some fascination with that as technology, and like electromagnets in the 90s were kind of a cool thing.
For anyway, sure.
Probably became more cost effective if I had to guess. So lastly, that's just sort of some idea of objectives, of like what do you want to be going for in those machines? Obviously, those cool gimmicks, we want to try and get those activated. But also the main objective in the game is you're exploring the Addams Family Mansion. There are going to be 12 rooms with lights in that main playfield that you want to sort of explore and get through. And they're all tied in to the movie in some way. Some might just give you big points or whatever, but there's, you know, like the mamushka, which is the dance they do in the movie. There is like a raise the dead thing. So like it's meant to tie into like the spooky ooky kookiness of the movie. Any questions sort of about things that are on there or what we need to be doing before we go take a look at this thing?
No, let's go.
All right. All right, welcome back. So that was a good time. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I don't know that I got any better at this game than when I was a kid, but it sure was fun.
That either says really good things about you as a player as a child, or really bad things about you as a player as an adult.
I think that one.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah, I agree. I think I was really taken by like the toys and the gimmicks. Like the thing grabber is just such a delight to see, like a hand kind of reach out from under this box and grab the ball and take it away. I really liked, there was a lot of good animations on the dot matrix display that felt like they were both fun and kept the game, you know, energized in the feeling of being Addams Family and not just like slapped with Addams Family stickers on top. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I will say, on the other hand, to your point about, I'm not sure I'm better at it than I was as a kid, it felt unforgiving to me. Like there was no ball safe to start. So if a ball accidentally drained down the middle, just like want, want, now you're down to two or one balls. And to that end, it felt very volatile. Like there were a couple of games, you know, so we normally do a couple of warm-up games, then we try to do a best of three and we take our best score of the three games in our head-to-head competition. And I felt like between the warm-ups and the kind of record games felt volatile. My good games felt awesome. My bad games felt super shitty. And I felt like they ended really quickly.
Yeah, I think to your point, I had a hard time tying actions in the game to the point values that they got for me. So some things just like randomly seemed to score me, you know, tens of millions of points, and other things that I thought were really hard were just very small scores in comparison. And I don't know, I guess I just don't understand the machine as well as I think some people do.
Yeah. And obviously some of that comes with time, and we have such a small window with each machine that we investigate, but I agree completely. And I guess I should remind, you know, everyone that the goal of this, trying these out, is to look at it from our sort of hobbyist eyes and say, like, if I only have a couple of hours at a bar, there's a new pinball machine, you know, which one's going to get my quarters. And to that end, when we're looking at these things, we really try to investigate across three spectra, theme, fun, and the design, right? So the theme, I try to think about, how well does the pinball machine execute on making you feel like You're part of the world of whatever it is, in this case, the Addams Family. Fun is, you know, basically how much do I want to keep coming back and putting money into it? And design, I think, is thinking about like what's unique about it mechanically from like a pinball shot execution perspective, and how well does that like work in with the other elements. So those are the ways we try to break it down. We rate them out of five, and let's kind of, I'd love to tackle them one by one. So if we just started sort of by theme, do you want to give me your rundown on how you felt the Addams Family pinball machine worked on theming?
Yeah. I'll say the first thing that comes to mind is that there's a lot of like pretty deep Addams Family lore involved in this machine. And it's been a while since I've seen the movie. So a lot of it really went over my head.
Okay. Anything in particular that you're like, wow, I just like, what is this?
Yeah, for sure. I think a very important part of the game seems to be the bear kick.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the hell that is. Why am I counting so many bear kicks?
You know, it's funny enough. I felt the same way about bear kick in particular. I have looked it up since then, and it came back to me. There is like a bear rug that like features in the movie that like also comes to life and they, you know, roars at you. So it's a tie into the throw rug that is a bear that like comes to life.
And the kicking is just because?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, it was a different time. You were allowed to do that.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I really like it. I think the art is really fun. Can we talk a little bit about Uncle Fester and the light bulb in his mouth? Like that's weird looking, but I guess that's
also classic to the movie, man.
Classic to the movie. And I think even the old TV show, like,
yeah, when I think about, well, again, and my familiarity is mostly those 90s movies. When I think about Fester, I think about him sitting in an electric chair with a light bulb in his mouth.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Kind of weird to give him kind of like front and center at the very bottom of the playfield, you know, but okay. Why not?
Okay. Any other thoughts on theme?
I mean, I really like that the game itself takes place, you know, in the mansion. So it feels like, you know, there are staircases, there are hidden vaults, and each of the little mini modes that you start is like a different room of the mansion, which I thought was pretty cool. It's a different way of approaching kind of a game like that.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, I have such fond memories of this movie. And so obviously this is always subjective, but in this case, I felt like the theme is incredible, because not only do you have Fester with the light bulb in his mouth, he features prominently in part because he is the main driver of the plot in the movie, if you recall, right? Christopher Lloyd shows up, he's trying to con the Addams Family out of their fortune because Fester is missing. And then long story short, he actually is Fester for some reason. And so like, I like that the choice, like there is a conscious choice of putting Fester up front for that reason. That feels like it really does tie in well to the movie. I mean, I can't say enough about having Raul Julia and Angelica Houston making call outs, even if they are mostly just saying,
go man.
But I'm for it, man. Like, I feel like it really, really knocked it out of the park theming wise. I felt like everything was reminding me of the movie, from the thoughtfulness of like the way things were laid out to the animations, to the callouts, to the different modes. Hitting the Mamushka mode is lovely because it plays like that goofy music that happens in that scene, yeah, in the film. Like that. It's just everything about it. Like, whew, nostalgia bomb for sure. That said, you know, so I gave that a theme four out of five. Mm-hmm. I thought it was almost perfect.
Yeah, I gave it a 3 out of 5, I think just because maybe I'm not as familiar with the movie. It's been so long since I've seen it, and I didn't recognize, I think, as many things as you did.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we're talking about it, that's an interesting point, I think, to notice, right? Like, would somebody who's never seen those movies, now that they're 30-some years old, walk into a bar and then see the Addams Family and go, meh, because they like it doesn't connect in the same way? Yeah, perhaps.
They'd be asking, you know, where's Wednesday? Show me Wednesday.
That's right. And they're like, where's the weird Wednesday dance? All right. But so, you know, so you think it's pretty average. I think it's just above. Let's talk about fun. So here, you know, not to get on a rant here, but super frustrating. Like, and I led into this before we started talking about these themes. Incredibly volatile. Like, my kingdom for a ball save, people. Like, maybe that's just something every operator across the country has never implemented for Addams Family. But my understanding is every like different Addams Family machines I've seen elsewhere also not have ball saves. Maybe it was just a money grab. I don't know. But like, there were too many times where I felt like I was off to the start of something good. And then another ball, like ball two launches, basically insta drains. Well, there goes my run. Just, oh my God, really, really frustrating in terms of volatility.
Yeah, I agree with you on the volatility for the lack of ball saves. And, you know, just reiterating what I said earlier about the scores, I know it doesn't matter, I guess, right? The score doesn't really matter, but you like to feel like, you know, doing well rewards you. And I didn't really get that. And it I don't know, it reminds me of kind of an interesting thing that like the pinball designer maybe doesn't know, you know, how the game's actually going to play in the wild. I know they do. They've got to do play testing, but like you don't really know until it actually gets out there.
It would be interesting to know how playtesting works for pinball. Like, is it self-selected to like really like pin, like
sure,
big pinball players, in which case maybe that was a smash hit.
Yeah.
You know, if you come at it from I like to play and I like to go to like arcade bars and stuff and play, but I know that I'm not setting any records, you know, I don't know if they're getting those kind of casual enthusiasts in there or even just randos off the street. Cause I don't know. I would have a hard time thinking if someone who's never played pinball first sat at that machine, I think I would have just wanted to quit because of all the bad games I had.
Yeah. And it's interesting because if that had happened with a game today where, you know, it was just way harder than it needed to be for no good reason, they will patch the code and they'll update the game and That's they true. Can do that. But that wasn't really an option back in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
or was
it? That's a good question. I mean, I have to assume that that's true. But on the other hand, you probably had better sales teams in maybe you had people in like regions who would, you know, like literally deliver, you know, I don't know, floppies or something that could like patch to the, they actually probably what they'd have is like a SATA port that would connect to the play field somewhere to like actually access motherboard code and like patch it that way.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
there are engineers or something.
Yeah. Maybe there are some historical
there, you know, that'd be a good thing to look up someday in the future when we look at other old pinball machines, cause it would be interesting to know if they ever could patch those. So for me, I want to pause here for a second before we move further on, because I'm curious from your point of view, like say we could patch it. Like, what would you do to make it feel less volatile or less frustrating? Like for me, the big one is basically ball save. And I want ball save a couple of times. One, obviously right after the launch. Two, I didn't really love the ball return sometimes out of like the vault or whatever, or maybe the scoops. It escapes me a little bit, like where I had some really frustrating drains. But maybe some, you know, you see that sometimes in modern machines where like out of the scoop or out of a ball lock or something, you'll get like a short 3 second save or something in case. And 90s machines even did that, by the way. There's one I'm thinking of. But I think for me, that's like the biggest one. Otherwise, mechanically, it wasn't fully inaccessible or something. So I'm curious, like what, you know, if you could patch something or make it better or easier, less volatile, how would you do that?
Yeah, software wise, I think, you know, the ball save's a big one. Consistency in scoring is another, but I'm going to actually offer a tweak on the hardware that I think I would do. And that's the scoop under the electric chair, the like Fester scoop. Mm-hmm. Seems to be like a really important shot for most of the game. And I feel like you can't even see it. And maybe this is a height issue because I have like the wrong angle on the game or something, but I felt like I was shooting at a target I couldn't see and I'd miss it for who knows what reason. And that was really frustrating for me.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah. I didn't, as a short boy myself, I did not have that problem.
Oh, okay.
I could see it pretty well, but that is interesting, right? Like did the toy of Fester sort of impact, you know, the mechanics of making good, reliable shots? Interesting. Okay. As we go into design then, yeah, you know what? I have another question for you. So if you were to modernize, like the Addams Family fever is sweeping the nation, thanks to Jenna Ortega. And like, what do you think would be a fun way to incorporate that? And that, you know, full disclosure, I haven't seen that show.
Okay,
I have seen the meme dance that she does. So there's got to be a way to incorporate that. But like,
yeah, I have not seen it at all. So I have no specific thoughts on incorporating it. But I think, you know, the easiest thing to do would be add a video screen with like clips. And that seems like really low effort, but it's fun. It's fun to, you know, point at the screen and go, oh, I know that. I know
that thing. Yeah. And, you know, there's probably like a multi-ball there or something. It starts like with her doing that like goofy ass dance. And I wonder, though, maybe there's like a way you do like a generational Addams Family machine now. And so you tie in Jenna Ortega and you tie in the Black and White Show and you tie in Angelica Houston. And like now it's like an Addams Family that appeals to everybody.
Yeah. What if you could do something fun with the lights and the graphics on the screen to make it like black and white when you're in one mode and then like, you know, kind of 90s style colors and then kind of a, I don't know, darker Wednesday theme later.
You would also, I'm trying to think, like, is there a way you could like mechanically make it like in the old version, make it play like a 60s era pinball machine? Like if you get into one of those modes, like you drop out certain targets so the play field becomes, or like you make the ramps inaccessible so it becomes a very flat machine.
Oh yeah.
And then in the 90s, like you've got a lot of these, like, I don't know, pop bumpers and like sort of confusing, you know, weird alley shots. And then is there a way to open it up even more? Cause I feel like modern machines have like an empty lower play field, but like usually a pretty tricky upper play field or top play field, upper feels.
Like, so I love talking about this. And I love the idea of maybe like picking a character that is like from a different era and that changes the play field that you play on. Cause they do that in some machines, right? Like I'm thinking Venom.
Yeah. 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 For sure.
But as much as I like talking about it, I actually don't really care for that in a pinball machine. I want it to be like consistent and simple.
Yeah, that's fair. And honestly, it would probably be way too hard. And I don't know that the draw for the 60s era Addams Family is even there anymore. The 90s is really just nostalgia for people in their 30s and older. And I mean, Wednesday was maybe a flash in the pan. We'll see if that like continues to have staying power when they have like extra seasons, but it's hard to commit to probably designing and building something that maybe doesn't have that mass appeal. But it's sort of an interesting thought. Like, how would we do it? How would you modernize it?
Do you have any other ideas?
No, I just want more Angelica Houston callouts, I think. Is that weird?
No, it seems normal.
That's a normal thing that people say all the time.
Yeah.
I actually said about everything in my normal life. Like I'm at work or something and some of my manager's like, hey, what can I get you? More Angelica Houston callouts, please. And she's like, okay.
You think we could get Angelica Houston to record some like instructions for your work day? Like
that would be great.
Type harder, Mark. I can't do the voice.
No, that was nowhere near it.
You give me a call out then. You do it.
I can't. No, I know I can't do it.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk design. So mechanically, I thought the design does a nice job of fitting into both the theme and like the vibe of the machine. Like, you know, mechanically, the ball lock, either the vault ball lock or the thing grabber are kind of cool and unique. You know, this like magnet hand grabber, I think is very neat, or the vault opening up to like let you now have a shot. You see things open up from time to time on other machines, but I think that's just, I'll never not be kind of smitten with it. It's a cool mechanical design. I like that there are two scoops, by the way. So you've got the main fester scoop sort of right in the center, and then there's one off to the right. And I think that's really pleasant because both of those start a mode. And it doesn't matter which scoop you hit. So if one of those shots is feeling better for you in that run than the other one, I like that you're not sort of punished until you hit the one single scoop. I will say, like, so mechanically coming into this, I thought the thing flip was going to be super cool. Maybe it was AI fever, man. I don't know. It was so meh. I don't know if you hit it at all.
I don't think I did in our games.
It was bad. And maybe that's like a thing that needs to be tweaked. Like it was missing, like it's supposed to hit across the center play field into like a target on the right side of the machine. That's at a slight angle. And it's supposed to sort of hit it reliably. And it was no better at it than I was.
Yeah. I wonder if it needs to be like calibrated in the settings or if it really is supposed to kind of learn from its previous shots. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear.
Yeah. And lastly, I thought there's a left ramp, right? It's sort of in the upper area of the play field. You have to hit it off of, there's like an upper right flipper. That left ramp shot felt very, very hard for me.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. And I don't know whether it was, you know, a problem of design or if the flipper just like lost some of its strength over 30 years. I'm going to blame it on that. There's no way it's a skill issue, right?
No, I mean.
Yeah, I hit every other shot.
Right. I would say though, like in some seriousness though, I felt like even though it was a very hard shot, it didn't feel like it ruined the game for me. In some ways, like, you know, there's a machine that you and I know very well where if you miss the ramp shot and you hit the post next to it, it's just an instant drain.
Yeah, I've had some experience on those kind of machines.
And this didn't feel like that. It just felt like because it was a hard shot and I had a hard time regularly finding my motion for it, that I felt like I was missing out on like an important experience part of the game.
Yeah. Though I will say, I appreciate, like you said, that missing an important shot doesn't immediately lead to a drain. I think that, you know, the designers put a little bit of thought into kind of the angles of the ramps and, you know, where they release to, so that if you do kind of go halfway up and then don't have enough power to go the rest of the way, you come back down in like a safe way. And I appreciate that. So that's something I didn't think about until just now, but I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I actually think the more I've looked at other games that Pat Lawler has designed, I actually think that's a bit of a hallmark of him, where it's a hard shot, but not punishing you immediately if you miss. And so I really, you know, it feels like he's probably designing things for maybe a little more hardcore player than I am, but I really appreciate that he keeps in mind that it's not an instant loss if you can't hit the challenging thing.
Yeah. So I think physically very well designed machine. One other thing that I consider in my kind of like gameplay assessment is, you know, how the game as like a logical rule set plays out. And I really like one aspect of the Addams Family for that, which is the inclusion of what I kind of call mini modes, where it's not like super complicated what to do in each mode. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you on that, I think, for sure. So what did you rank this thing out of 5 in design?
So I gave it a 3 again. I don't know. I just wasn't feeling the Addams Family love. I think for me, the sight line on the Fester Scoop really kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, and also maybe the weakness of the flippers, but that could just be, you know, an old machine.
Interesting. Yeah. Once again here, I'm a little bit above you this time, which is a little bit of a rarity these days, but I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought the design was very strong. I thought the gimmicks worked generally very well. Yeah. I'm not knocking Thing Flip too deeply, because I'm assuming part of that is just wear and tear over time. But, you know, it's, I don't think it's for me, because it's super punishing in a lot of ways, but it's very well executed in its vision, I think. So I gave it, yeah, the 4 out of 5. So as we do at the end of all of these things, like I mentioned, we play 3 games each. We take our best score from each of those to just sort of see who is the better player that day. And actually, I think we, as I recall, both had a pretty good, I want to say second, like mine was, my best game was my second game, but I want to say yours was also, we had a rough warm up game and then kind of hit a stride.
Yeah. I only wrote down 2 scores, so I think second.
Yeah. My best score by like a factor of like 4, by the way, is 62,280,900 points.
And I just edged you out with 71,805,900.
Yeah, you had a good game. It was it felt good, though, that we could both have sort of a nice competitive game going on there.
It was fun.
I might be a little salty that I lost, but I won't let it fester.